Oh shit, what's up, girl? What's
Hey.
up? What's up, Shazzy H Town? Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast. This is episode 27. This is episode 277. And
wow.
I know, hey, I just want to tell you, it's an honor for having you to come on. You came all the way over here from LA and Long Beach to show some love to our people and also the West Coast. And for me, you know, introducing myself and showing you around Long Beach is nothing but love. And yo, let's get this episode started, girl.
Yes, get it.
So first things first. So how was your trip over here to the West Coast?
So this is actually my third time being out here on the West Coast, and it's my third time being in Long Beach, which at this point, the city of Long Beach might as well just adopt me.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Every time I'm there, you are my city outside of Houston. But
yeah.
It's been good. I mean, the weather's been really unusual, but other than that, everything's been good.
Yeah, everything's cool over here. I had to take care of some errands, but it's like, Long Beach, we have our way of people. I was already networking earlier today, and I can't mention who's coming on, but I'll tell you off air. But it took me a while to get this person on, like almost like 2 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So I don't know if you met him. He was over there at maybe at the Live and Die of LA, but I saw him today, and we're gonna set something up.
Well, that's good. I see you working hard.
Yeah, I'm just busy, man. So how was the event? I saw you for a little bit, and I was just kind of interacting with some people at the Live and Die of LA.
So the event actually was a lot of fun for me. I think actually meeting people that I've seen on podcasts, meeting them in person, meeting Esteban, meeting Nate, Face, meeting Reverie, who I absolutely love. So getting a chance to actually see these people in person was definitely a lot of fun.
It's cool. I got there a little late. I was about to go. Stupid me, Mega Man. I left my blinkers on and my battery died. So I have to go get a tow truck to kind of give me a lift, and I go take it to mechanic, make sure my battery's still good. And yeah, there is no way I'm gonna miss this event, because some people were asking me, if are you gonna come? So I got there a little late, but I met a lot of cool ass people there and shit. And whoa, it's like, these are the who's who's.
No, it is true. It is true. And the fact that there were people there from out of the country, I was still pretty shocked by that. Like the woman who was an amazing singer. I mean, she sounds like almost, what's this woman's name? She almost sounded like Emile LaRue from Groove Theory.
You know, the really? Oh yeah, that's my girl.
And she's from Finland. Like, wow, what brought you all the way here from Finland? But you know, it just goes to show you the culture that y'all got here is so big, influential, that you can see it throughout the world.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I've even seen a G-Funk festival that's in the country of Chile, in South America, because I had some people follow me and they sent me a link for it. And I was just shocked. This entirely G-Funk music, like what y'all got on the West Coast, but they're doing it entirely in Spanish. I'm like, how did they even find this? But it just goes to show you that the world really does follow y'all.
Yeah, I remember when American Cholo, he was a guest on Tony A, and he said, we are the trendsetters. Whatever we do, everyone watches what we do. And I thought about that for a week or two, and I was like, trendsetters. And I really got into the, you know, really deep dive into trendsetters for us. And yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people in the world, like whatever West Coast does, everyone takes notice and everyone does reaction videos, or hey, this is what they're doing in LA and here. And also when it comes to podcasts, you know, West Coast is a podcast, but now you have Texas already trying to get their name out there in the podcast game. And they're like right behind us.
It's true. It's true. It's true. But you know what? We are learning the best kind of ways to go about podcasting still from you all over there, because you're the OGs. Like, I would prefer to gain knowledge on how to do a podcast, quite frankly, from the West Coast, not from a Texas podcaster. But that's just
because the podcast, like, you have to know behind the scenes what you're going to talk about. And we already had this sit down, you know, like, you don't want to just start doing podcasts and if you don't know this, you don't want to be making as a fool, you know?
Absolutely.
Hey, so how did it feel like being a guest on Tony A? Were you expecting that?
No, I wasn't expecting that. Apparently they had their camera out in the crowd and someone from the live chat actually saw me. They said they saw somebody with dark skin and a jacket and this hair.
And rain boots, color blue.
Color blue, if it does do right here. See, I knew this was going to be an out of control show, but it was a lot of fun. I wasn't really expecting to be on the podcast. I got a small little tap on the shoulder, and then I turned around and it was Norbert. I'm like, whoa. He's like, hey, you want to hop on with us? I'm like, this quickly, I'm not prepared for anything, but
that I just came. That's how it is. That's how it is when you're a podcaster. When someone says, "Hey, Shazzy H Town, I'm gonna get you on," like, I'm not even prepared. I'm not even prepared. Take advantage of it.
But you know what? I think it was actually a good thing that I wasn't prepared, because when I was speaking to Norbert, it was as if me and Norbert were just having just a regular conversation.
Yeah, and that's how it is. You know, a lot of people want to know, who is Shazzy H-Town all about? She's always on the live chats. She's always showing love when she calls in. You know, she's not going to have any sugarcoat questions. She's going to lay it down like, yo, what's up with this? What's up with that? Because, you know, you're not running around the bush. Like, you're keeping it fucking 100.
Absolutely. There is no other way to be.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So, so in H-Town, where you grew up at, did you grow up in H-Town all your life?
No, I didn't. So I was actually born in Jamaica, and when my family and I first came to this country, we were actually up on the East Coast. We were in the Bronx, New York.
Ooh.
So I actually lived up in the Bronx, New York until about like 9 or 10 years old, and then we moved over to Houston. So I guess you could say my origins kind of began on the West Coast, but I mean, when I usually go up to see some of my family members, because I still do have some family who live there, I don't sound anything like somebody from the East Coast at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I have my homie King Mexico. I do the podcast with them every Wednesday. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I can hear it in his accent. He has a really
It's heavy accent.
Oh, he's got a really heavy accent.
So what made you decide, you and your family, to move from the Bronx all the way into Texas? Everything's big in Texas.
Everything is bigger in Texas. So my dad got a better opportunity. He wanted to be in a better environment because, quite honestly, the area that we were at in the Bronx, at the time in the 90s, it really wasn't all that good. There was a lot of crime. The schools weren't that good. And then the schools that are good, they were Catholic schools where you have to pay so much money for. So he was looking for just a new start. But the thing is, the area that we moved to, there weren't a lot of there weren't a lot of Cubans. There weren't a lot of Jamaicans. It was almost entirely Mexican. I'm from Brooksmith, which is an area in the northern part of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And that area is known for being mostly Mexican. Like, we have a historic farmer's market that's been there for decades. We have a really well-known Mexican bakery that's been there since 1998. So for a person like me, I've pretty much been around Raza for a big part of my life.
And that's the thing where a lot of people want to know, like, yo, Mega Man, who is this person, Shazzy H-Town? Like, dude, this woman is showing nothing but love. And, you know, a lot of people will go by skin tone, and it's like, I don't see no color. I don't see no skin tone. I see nothing but love. And that's what you're doing. You're showing love to a lot of our people. And for you to make the journey to come visit the West Coast from Houston and go to the Live and Die of L.A. and being a guest on Tony and mine and getting to know the people and stuff like that. And also, you know, the video that you posted, you know, giving certain people credit, you know, because you said that you were this close to moving to the West Coast.
Yes. So the last time that I was here, so that was the first time you and I actually got a mm-hmm. chance to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was then that the wheels were turning in my head that maybe I should leave the city because it's not moving in the direction that I needed to move in, because I'm looking at California and they get it. They have an environment for everyone. Even the city that I used to live in, New York City. New York City has an environment even for everyone. You can hear hip hop in New York, but then you can also hear different types of Spanish music. There's Asian rappers, but our city was diverse, but then it was segregated music-wise. And I was no longer willing to be patient. So even then, I was ready to move, and that wasn't even that long ago.
What do you mean by like it is? So in Texas, the music scene is all segregated over there.
In Houston, I do feel it's segregated. In the city of Austin, I can say it's a little bit different. Their music scene, and I think with Austin, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Austin historically has always been much more liberal. It's always been much more hippie, and it's always had, I guess you could say, like a San Francisco feel to it. So Austin has always been a place that's accepted all kinds of folks. Oh, yeah, there's a place for Austin.
Interesting.
Austin, keep Austin weird. And they always use that phrase, keep Austin weird, because it was this very uber liberal place in the middle of very red Texas. And then it's the capital of the whole state. But this capital is where you find South by Southwest. And South by Southwest brings artists from all over the country. And mm-hmm. I began to notice, hey, wait a minute. Why is it that some of these artists who are different, they're heading over to Austin, but they're not coming to my city? And we're only about 2.5 hours apart. How are they picking?
Yeah, because what I heard is, a lot of people, comedians, podcasters, they want to go to Austin, Texas, because mm-hmm. you can do podcasts there in Austin, the people, the concerts, the indie scene and all that stuff. But you're right. Like, everything's all focused around Austin because you have the University of Texas and it's, you know, and all that stuff. It's like booming of like everyone's all moving from California to Austin, Texas, or I don't know. I heard a lot of people are moving to San Antonio. That's what I heard. I don't know if the houses are cheap over there, but the music scene, everyone's all fucking with the capital of Austin in the state of Texas.
It's true. And the other thing about Austin is its demographic, for the most part, is younger than Houston. And that has a lot to do with its school. So its population is mostly college students. And, you know, college students, by nature, they are just more open to different types of things. So when you go to most events in Austin, you usually are looking at a face that's 20-something, 30-something. They're a lot more willing to accept a lot of things. Whereas in Houston, sometimes you might be looking at a face that's 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, maybe our OGs. So you may not necessarily get the same type of reaction. So yes, you are right. I've seen even some of y'all artists right there in California, like Desi Hollow. Desi Hollow has done shows in Austin and San Antonio, but he has yet to do one here in Houston.
Yeah, because, you know, when I think of Houston and Texas, you know, the genre of music, you know, I'm an 80s and 90s. When you think about it, you think about the Ghetto Boys, you think about Rap-A-Lot Records, you know, Slim Thug, you know, Paul Wall, you know, just a whole bunch of who's out there and stuff. And, you know, the music scene was, is always will be on fire, you know. Little Flip, he's from fucking Houston, Texas. So there's a lot of good people coming out. But yeah, you're right. Everyone's all focusing on the mainstream, which is Austin. But yeah, you're right. Like a lot of people need to start doing their concerts or music shows over there in Houston, Texas.
Right. Now, in my opinion, in order for that to happen, we need to make sure we have an environment that encourages people to come. Like you had mentioned Little Flip and Slim Thug and Trey the Truth. And these are all our legacy OG artists, which we love. That's the thing about Houston. We love our legends. But sometimes we're hesitant to give the new people who are different a chance. That is actually a big problem in our city. Like I know a rapper in our city who, to me, he is the Houston answer to MC Wicks. And when I say that, I mean, as far as the boom pap, the quote unquote boom pap style, this rapping, I'll give you his information. His name is Chop the Father. Chop the Father, when it comes to boom pap, he, to me, is so good. He's so prolific. He can freestyle. But from what I can see, Chop the Father is not getting on a lot of our major shows. He's not getting on a lot of our major events.
He's not getting that much exposure.
He's not getting that much exposure. It's starting to pick up a little bit now, but the events that he goes to, they're kind of isolated to so-called old school hip hop. Whereas what y'all have there at one event, you can have a boom pap person with a G-Funk person, with maybe somebody who does punk metal all at once. We don't have that yet over here.
Before
it wasn't that big of a deal, but after my trips to coming to LA, I'm beginning to realize that this is actually a little bit of a hurdle.
Yeah, every state's different. You know, it takes time, you know.
It does.
Like how you say, there's like, you got some of the OG rappers that they're still big, but they don't want to give any good advice to the young people coming up because I feel like they're just not ready to pass that torch yet. It's like, it's still my shine still. I'll let you know when I'm retired, then I'll give you my torch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, like, hey, listen, I have a lot of my contacts, you know, I always do this festival. Why should I let that youngin' come in? I always have my spot. Well, because the nature of you being an elder or the OG is the fact that you are willing to pass it along. And you have to see the fact that this person coming up under you, this is actually a compliment to you. It says that you first, number one, have an eye for talent. And this is in many ways your legacy. I would take it as a compliment if I'm an OG older artist. So a younger artist wants to come to me for mentorship, and rather than me to try to, you know, I guess somehow block him because I have all of my opportunities, I would want you to come up. That way, if people ever ask, you know, where did they get their inspiration from, I'm the name that they say. But I mean, you have to kind of retrain your mind, I think.
So with you in Texas and Houston, you're really deep into a lot of the genres of music out there where they already know, like, yo, this is banging, check this out, because let's be frank, you know, a lot of the music scene where you're at, West Coast or probably all around the world, it's oversaturated. And you got to find that diamond in the rough because there's so much like, yeah, hey, check out my music, check out this, you're giving out CDs, Instagram here, whatever. To me, it's like, it's kind of overwhelming, but it's a lot of good exposure because I'm more old school, where back in the day in MySpace, that's why I would get all my music. So now with the social media is like taking to the next level, everyone's trying to get their name out there. And also it's almost like you gotta be the Renaissance. You gotta be hustling. You gotta promote, do podcasts, get your name out there, hear whatever, just to get, hey, me, hey, like my music. Hey, me, like, that's what I see a lot of people doing. And do you get a lot of musicians want to come on your show? Because I know you started, you know, the Shazzy H-Town, you know, the podcast episodes. So are there going to be any, you know, musicians that can be on your show down the road?
Yes. So one of the people that I mentioned on my podcast interview with Rhodium Radio, actually was just talking to him before we started this podcast. He wants to do an interview, and he wants to do it right when his album comes out, because he saw what I said on the podcast interview, and he said, you know, this album that I'm doing is different, it's vulnerable, I'm much more experimental. You seem like the person that embraces things that are different, so I definitely want to work with you to do this interview. And that's a compliment to me, because he's considered a Texas OG who now wants to step outside of the box. So that's a very big deal for me. There's someone else, I can't even recall his name now. Ah, now I remember. Greg Gatsby. So Gatsby is bilingual. So he does his music in English and in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And he does them pretty seamlessly. So I will be having him on shortly as well. So there's a couple of people that I have in mind once we get things up and running.
Yeah. So let's talk about like the podcast. What made you wanted to start, you know, decide to start doing podcasts?
So you were actually one of the reasons why I wanted to start doing podcasting. I actually did not think that I could do it. I didn't think that most people wanted to hear what I had to say. But after having a conversation with you, once you made me aware that when I call in to Rhodium Radio, I just thought that I was just calling in and asking questions, even if they were questions that were difficult to answer, I thought I was adding to the conversation.
Yeah, because you want to call in, and people are like, oh, they want easy questions. Nah, I want difficult questions. I want to see when you call in and Tony has a guest, put that guest on the hot seat. I want to see what he has to say from your questions.
Right. But I didn't realize that people were paying attention that heavy. So I started to think to myself, like, wow, I mean, if what I'm saying really matters that much, and there's so many more things that I even wanted to say that I just didn't think we could say on Rhodium Radio, let me try to give this a shot. But let me first test it out to see if people care what I have to say. Because initially, all I was doing was just sharing music. But what I also began to realize is it kind of becomes redundant, right? I mean, you just have an Instagram, and then Monday through Friday, you're just sharing music, and then you take a couple of pictures. Recycle, repeat. Eventually, people was going to lose interest. So I also needed to add, you know, another layer to my platform. And what I began to realize is that other layer had to be me, which was something that was a little difficult for me because I'm naturally a shy person and I actually don't like being on camera a whole lot. Like I have to like plan out when I do my pictures for the holidays, for my birthday, etc. I didn't really want to have to be on camera, but I knew that if I was going to take things to the next level, I had to get over it and get myself on camera. So that's how the series kind of came to be.
Yeah. When I started doing podcasts, you know, I was super shy. I had a stuttering problem. I was antisocial and everything and stuff. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this podcast? But to me, doing podcasts for almost 6 years, it kind of just kind of let the butterflies out. And I'm not shy like I used to no more. Conquer my depression, my stuttering, and just interacting with people. And because now we're living in the generation with social media, people do, and we talked about this, people do not make the time and effort to get to sit down and get to know who is Mega Man, who is Shazzy H-Town all about and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, if they don't want to understand us or get to know us, okay, whatever, they're weird, or I don't click with them, and that's where the bashing of talking shit and all that. So let me just say this for the next question. I know we talked about, you know, how you are with, and you have a lot of good opinions, and it's very straightforward. You're a very straightforward woman. How do you deal with criticism and haters? Have you dealt that ever since, you know, you were starting the podcast?
Yes, I have. Initially, it's something that used to get to me when I would get like some of this, you know, weird hate mail. And it's funny because people always like to send it via DM. They never seem to write it right in the comments. No. But in my DM, that's that seems to be when people go off. And, you know, I used to take it really personal. But the way that I've learned to deal with it is just a bunch of comments. People are going to say what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that people are even paying attention to what I'm having to say at all, even if it's negative, it means I must be doing something right. Because I didn't think this is something that would work at all.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to have naysayers or haters, like, why'd you get him on or her on, or you should have do it this way, or why'd you bring this, or why'd you talk about this? Again, American Cholo, man, that guy's the man. You know, when there are certain things that went above and beyond with haters, trolls, or people who are trolling, and it's like, how do I deal with situations like this? It's like, you know, Mega Man, it's like, what have we said? You're a starter for the NFL. You know, all those people who talk crap about you, Shazzy, or this, whatever, those people, those are the ones who talk a lot of shit. They sit in those fucking bleachers way up on top. Because if you ever go to a fucking game and you're sitting in the nosebleeds, all in the bleachers, and those are the haters talking shit, they're just trying you to interact and look up like, who the fuck is that? Like, they're just, that's why I don't even dress it. I moved on. It's like, whatever. But that's how it is, because now that you're going to be a podcaster, this is going to be a second job to you. So my advice to you, you better have super thick skin, because every episode or what you post, everyone's going to be eyeing you. They're going to wait for you to slip up. It's like, we got her, dude. That's how people are and shit like that. But as long as you stay true to yourself, you're real, you're honest, you post whatever you want, and you're different. You want to make, it's almost like this. You want your podcast to be different from everyone else. You know, like, what's so different about Shazzy H-Town where a lot of people fuck with you, they like what you do, like, everything gravitates around you because of what you post on your social media?
I think what makes me different is you actually can't necessarily put me into a box. So even though I'm a woman who lives in Houston, Texas, but I have so much love and support in the state of California. But at the same time, I have so much love and support from multiple countries in Latin America. So I am the person that you can't necessarily put me in the box. And guess what? All three of these things have influenced me. All three of these things make me who I am. Like, I remember earlier today when I was putting together my last combos with Shazzy, I was thinking in my head, you know what? I definitely am a combination of these two states. Like, my exterior is Texan, but my heart is definitely California. The California heart that I have drives me to always want to better and refine my Texas exterior. So it's hard for me to say that I'm one versus the other. And the two kind of complement each other. So I think that's the biggest reason why people gravitate towards me, because I don't fit into any one box. You hear a Southern accent, but how many times have I been out here on the West Coast? And most people have no problem with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what would have been cool? Like, I know you came down. But honestly, if Derek Malin, was the name Derek from Minnesota, Derek came down, you know, if he would have came down, he would have been showing love, like, yo, what's up?
Derek is definitely cool people. This is true. And from what I've seen, Derek is also very open as well.
Yeah.
So you got to try him on the podcast, too.
I'll see what's up. From you being from Houston and seeing the West Coast, what's different, what you see, what we do in the West Coast, which is more different of where you're at in Texas? What's different with West Coast and Texas, in your opinion?
What I would say is different is the way that y'all hustle here, to me, is different from the way that we hustle out in Houston. And I'm speaking very general. There's always going to be, you know, outliers. But the way that we hustle in Texas and in Houston, I would say, is we're hustling to be able to make money to support our family or to support our community. The way that y'all hustle, y'all hustle to do all of those things, but you're also hustling for a bigger goal. Like, from what I can see, you all tend to think on a much grander scale. Mm-hmm. I remember I was speaking to, and well, hopefully he doesn't have a problem with this, but Anthony, the hip hop Jedi from Rhodium Radio, he had mentioned that he sees Rhodium Radio not just being just one podcast out in California, but something that they can eventually take to different types of cities. So they basically have a formula that works, but then you can take it to different types of cities. I spoke to Viva Mescal about his Lighter Fluid program, and he wants to do something similar. Do you know I haven't heard anybody from Texas say anything like that?
Yeah, I did a podcast with Viva Mescal at a studio, and no, you're right. I haven't heard anything. The only thing that I see what's going on is like little concerts here and there, but it's mostly a lot of podcasters just trying to get their name out there. But you're right, like, for us West Coast people, you know, we set the bar high. Like, Tony, me, or America Cholo, or Profile Pod, or all these podcasts on the West Coast, we have goals. Everyone has goals of what we're trying to do. Like, this person might have a vision how he wants. This is my vision. You know, like, everyone's on the come up. But when we all meet each other, it's like, oh, shit, yo, what's up? It's all family, you know? Of course you're going to have beef with certain people. Of course you're going to show love and this, whatever. But when it comes to the West Coast, you know, there's a lot of people just trying to get exposure, because we are living in the golden age of podcasts. And when it comes to our people, when it comes to Latinos, Latinas in the podcast, this is our time to shine. We're making noise. And a lot of podcasters like, yo, do you see what they're fucking doing? You see all these Latinos and Latina podcasters? Like, dude, they're going to take over. And that's why you see networks trying to recruit to come on their networks or radio shows here, whatever, because of the numbers and stuff like that. I'll be honest. I had like 8 or 9 offers and stuff like that. But I'm not going to be like being a network and not get paid for it. Like, I bring the numbers. I bring the people and exposures. But I, you know, like, when it comes to business, I want to take my business to a whole new level where I want to have my podcast on TV where everyone can watch me on Roku.
Right. But see, that's your mentality. You're always thinking 10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Too often times here in Texas, we don't always do that. Sometimes people get satisfied with what they're doing. This is why it's possible for an artist to be in Texas and be the biggest thing out in Texas, meaning they can tour anywhere in the state, but then the minute they step outside the state, nobody knows who they are.
And that's the thing. Those people, those types of people are comfortable. And remember we talked about, hey, you got to get out of that fucking pond. You can't be in that pond with all those ducks. You got to get up out of that pond, get out of that pond and just see what the world is and stuff. When I have other podcasters that DM me and, you know, they don't want to say, you know, I'm all big on Instagram, but in reality, it's a doggy dog world. When they go to events here, whatever, no one knows who they are. And then they get all butthurt because it fucks up with their ego. And I said, that's what I always tell them. But there's some podcasters are fucking hard headed. You got to get out there, dude. You got to go to events. You got to help out the community here, whatever. You got to get the people what they want. For you to be known as like, hey, this is who I am, you got to get out there no matter what, because you can't be doing podcasts in the garage and people don't even fucking know you. You got to get out there so people know. That's like, it's all about networking. It's all about getting the right people and all. But yeah, man, like, for you to have a podcast, I have a podcast. Dude, you have a story that needs to be told, but at the same time, you're doing whatever you can to show a lot of people love in your city of Houston, Texas.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm hoping to kind of change people's mind, at least open them up a little bit. Because this spirit of, you know, complacency, I'm making 6 figures here in Texas, my taxes are cheaper, I can do a show here in Dallas and this and that. Okay, does anybody in Florida know who you are? No. Does anybody in Chicago know who you are? No. You know there's money in those other areas, right? Have you ever thought about trying to do that? No, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm good. But what exactly do you do when those people start coming and taking over our city? Because that's actually my other fear for Houston. Because the manager that I had mentioned on Rhodium Radio never died. His artist that is actually blowing up right now, she has a song played on radio in 4 different states. She is not from Houston, Texas. She is from Washington, D.C. And she actually came to Houston with her own movement after going to D.C., apparently after going to Cali, after going to a whole bunch of different places. She already had her connections. And now she is one of the biggest things in Houston, but not actually from Houston. You see what I mean? So how many other people are going to come in? They have a different type of hustle, and they pretty much knock us out of the park because we're too comfortable with, oh, well, I'm here. They're always going to support me. No, there's going to come a time when they won't support you.
What about the people who are coming from Louisiana? I bet you they're trying to make their presence known that well when they're coming, you know, from Louisiana to Texas. And the music scene, you know how it is. It's like Louisiana. When you think of Louisiana, you think of like Juvenile. You think of Master P, even though he's from the area and shit. But you got that Louisiana sound mixed with that Texas swag. Oh, it's game over.
Yes, and we always get people from New Orleans coming in. We actually call them our sister city, New Orleans, the Big Easy. So we actually already have a lot of transplants who are here. And you are right. They also bring their music. New Orleans has like its own different type of sound. But even New Orleans, the last time I went there, they're starting to open themselves up to different types of things. And they're starting to create their own scene. So much so that they don't really need to come to Houston anymore. Before, they would actually want to come to Houston because it's a bigger city. It feels similar. But now, they have a lot of their own conferences. There is no reason for them to come here. So I see a city that has the potential to possibly fall behind if it doesn't open its eyes to what's, you know, really going on out
there. Damn, it just feels like a lot of artists or musicians, they have to do tours. You know, I get it that they got to get paid, but for you to be relevant, you got to go to different states because you never know those type of crowds. You know, they fuck with, you know, with Chicano music.
You are right, and see, that's I think for some artists that's the other thing. Let's just say you're in your city, you have most of the connections in your city. If you have most of the connections, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you what that means for a lot of artists. It means that 99% of the time you'll be paid for a show, where somebody else may have to do the free show thing or they may have to pay to get on. So for some of them,
I heard stories.
Why would they take the risk of going somewhere else where they may not be paid? They have to pay the plane ticket. They got to pay the room and board, so everything they're coming out of pocket for. Why would you do that when you can just be where your city is and maybe you started a restaurant or et cetera, et cetera? I'm just seeing people who are looking at things more for business, for money, but they're not looking at the overall bigger goal. Because every time I've had to come here, I've had to spend some money, y'all. I'm not gonna lie to you. I have to pay the plane, I have to do this and that, but you see the fruits of my labor have worked. In 1 weekend, 2 podcast interviews. And since the Rhodium Radio one, my phone has been blowing up with people from my state and California trying to find out what's going on. Sometimes you have to be willing to take a risk. That's the biggest thing that I can say to most people in Texas. Stop being comfortable with, you know, your little maybe $1 million mansion. Yes, you have everything that you need, but you should always be striving for more. When you get too comfortable, it makes it easy for your competition to slip in. And baby, they are coming, whether you like it or not. They coming.
And I noticed that with a lot of artists and musicians, they be on my DMs, yo, Mega Man, is there a way possible? I'll pay you if you can repost this or here, whatever. And I hear some of their music, and maybe 40% of the time, I was like, I'm not really feeling it, but I'm not going to post it. but, you know, be like, oh, but you post this, because I already know those type of people, you know, like, I get it. A lot of people wanted that exposure and all like that, but I just, if I'm feeling it, I'm feeling it, but if I'm not, you're not. But also, I was going to tell you too, now that you have a podcast and everything, you have to be very selective and very picky of what type of podcast you would be a guest on or who you bring on, because you never know. I'm just being very frank, very frank with you. You don't want to get fucked over. There's people out there who are fucking clout chasers.
No, you're definitely right. Or they might be bringing you on for a certain agenda, or they'll be asking certain questions to steer the conversation, make it look like it's a bunch of drama that you co-signed for when you didn't. I've definitely come to observe some of the messiness that goes on with podcasting.
Yeah.
So you, right.
Yeah. It's something where you're going to learn, you know, as long as you know, you can see it a mile away. Yeah. But with the type of people that you will bring on, and this is the thing, and I with what I realized, it took me about, I say about 4 years. When you mm-hmm. see guests that do a whole bunch of other podcasts, they go on this invasion, I don't want those type of guests on, because we already heard their fucking story. I want to bring an unknown person like no one knows, and it'd be like, oh, this was a good interview. Oh, I like this music, or I like how he or she conducting themselves, because how you say when you interview that person and people are watching and be like, oh, I like this person, you know, it's like, oh, Shazzy H-Town, oh, I like the interview. Oh, she asked some straight up questions, and it came out to be a very good intellectual type of conversation about, you know, about music.
No, you are definitely right. And then the other thing, like, how many times can you ask them, so where did you grow up? What was your inspiration? Like, how many different ways are they going to say, I'm from LA, I'm from Houston, I'm from Dallas? I'm just being real. Eventually, it kind of becomes the same thing over and over again. Now, what I can tell you from an artist's perspective, what has happened is podcasts have replaced radio.
Correct.
For the most part, y'all have replaced radio. So for a lot of artists, hopping on podcast after podcast after podcast, even if it's the same question, a lot of them see it as, this is still exposure for me. So my name is still out there. So sometimes they don't even care. There are some artists who don't care. Like I've seen some artists where within 1 week they've done like 5 podcasts and they were asked the exact same question mm-hmm. over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter to them, because that's five different platforms for people to know who you are. So some of these artists, they're not super selective, because they're kind of doing whatever it takes to put their name out there.
Yeah, and that, yeah, you're right. When it comes to podcasts, you know, when you have those type of people, they do interview, they always ask the same question. And that's why when you bring guests on, when you start bringing guests, you know, those guests are going to tell you, Shazzy H-Town, if I be a guest on your show, what makes you different from everyone else? They're gonna push your buttons. They want to know, because we already know about this and all that. I just wanted something that's going to be original, where no one knows about, you know. And it's like something where, who is Shazzy H-Town? What does she bring to the table? Who is she? Like, we want to know, like, because this is a story. This is your life. You want to get to know, because, again, we're living in the social media world where we just don't make the time and effort to get to know each other. And we have to, because you are a representative to the Houston, Texas. And the music that you're promoting on your Instagram and here, it's very intriguing. It's very original. It's unique. And it's something where it's like, it's different. And at the same time, we want to know what's really going on in Texas.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And thank you. I actually do try my hardest to make the music different, make it varied. And what I hope to do with my podcast, I do want to be able to bring people that you may not usually expect from Houston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, unfortunately, people still see our city as just screwed and chopped music.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. jazz, swang, and it's swang. I mean, people still see that. But there is so much of our city that is not that. There's so much of our city that's not even English. So that's why I put a lot of Spanish stuff on here, because a big part of our population is Latino.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want my podcast to reflect that diversity, because right now a lot of other podcasters who do the Texas Houston stuff, it doesn't necessarily reflect that diversity. Now, what I'm also hoping to do, and I mean, obviously this will have to depend on the guests. I am hoping that my podcast is a place where artists can also come and feel vulnerable, to kind of talk about those things that are uncomfortable, those things that are awkward, but they're things that if you are an artist, you do go through. Because I find that, especially with a lot of newer artists, they end up making all of these unnecessary mistakes, you know, signing crazy contracts that they didn't read, or they have a weird image. Maybe they dated somebody who, you know, was too much drama, too much hassle, messed up their opportunities. If you are hearing it on a regular podcast that, hey, somebody else went through a lot of these things, you may want to be careful about X, Y, and Z. Because being an artist is not just making music. It's not just putting out videos. It's not just going to shows. There's a whole lot of other hurdles that people go through that they don't necessarily discuss on camera. That's what I was trying to do with my series. Some of these things are stuff that I've been through, and they're conversations that I've had with people. That's how I was able to create the series, because it comes from real conversations. So I am hoping that people will feel comfortable, that my podcast can feel like a safe space for them to do that. But in order for me to do that, I have to avoid chisme. I have to avoid all the gossip. Nobody's going to feel comfortable discussing a horrible relationship or divorce that, you know, helped them write hit songs, but it's destroyed them inside. So they've been able to write these hit songs, but they never got mental health treatment for it, and it's killing them. Will they come to discuss that if they know that I'll turn it into a bunch of gossip for views and clout? No. So there's, you know, I also have to be careful about the way that I go about things.
Yeah. This is very intriguing what you just said right there, because an artist, when they write their songs, what were they going through when they wrote that song? What were they going through in those certain times, and he or she's, you know? That's just, to me, it's like, I want to know that, but yeah, you're right. Like, it's just, I get it.
No, it is true. You would be surprised how vulnerable and how sensitive a lot of artists are. I mean, I think it takes having a vulnerable heart to be able to make music. You know, when you're writing these really, really deep songs about a heartbreak or, you know, death, or even those really painful topics like maybe suicide, you need to be a relatively sensitive person. Mm-hmm. But that same sensitivity means that you're going to go through a lot of different things.
Yeah, there are type of songs that, you know, we always talk about, you know, like, oh, I heard that song, like, oh, that song was addressing me. It was talking about me. Like, I can relate mm-hmm. to that. There's a lot of music that we can relate to it, you know? I hear it from a lot of my friends. They listen to a lot of the Spanish, a lot of cumbia music, a lot of narcos music and all. Like, they're talking about me. They're addressing, you know, and stuff like that. So, oh, yeah, because I was going to tell you as well. I'm going to get to the next subject. You know, you're really focused on Spanish music. You know, you're really focused on, like, Central America, South America. You even promoted, like, one time, like, there was, like, a Brazilian artist coming out. And I was like, who is that?
Yes, and you know what? The crazy thing, that Brazilian artist, he is actually really famous in Brazil. He actually won The Voice Brazil in his country. And he's been on, like, top 10, all sorts of stuff. So the fact that this man was so chill to take that photo with me is crazy. The reason I've been trying to incorporate everyone is, again, this is a reflection of my city, y'all. My city is not just, you know, one dimensional. We have all kinds of different faces. So if I'm gonna say I'm an ambassador for Houston, damn it, I gotta mean it, which means that I have to be able to understand different types of groups. So yeah, so that may mean going to Brazilian events. Like, for instance, 2 weeks from now, the Brazilians will be having a big carnival event. Now, I do not speak Portuguese, but, you know, I can understand them a little bit. I'm going because, number one, they're open, and they seem to be intrigued by me, because not too many non-Brazilians come to their events at all. So they're intrigued, and they're actually pretty curious about me. So that's one of the reasons why I do it.
Yeah, a lot of the music from Brazil, like the rap and all that, they always talk about the hard times and everything, living in the favelas. You know, like, you know, the slums and all that over there, because everyone's trying to get out of the slums and trying to get their shit together and just move out and live peacefully, for where there's no violence or corruption here, whatever. So a lot of music can change a lot of people's lives, man. And also, I want to say this to you, Shazzy, you know, there's going to be an evolution. I know with Texas, it's taking its time, but little by little, like, the music scene is evolving. It's going to be a revolution. You know, it just takes time with Texas, because we all know, like, see, I think someone left in the comments about Chop and Screw. We know of all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, with Chop and Screw, the music and all that, you know, they paved the way and all that. But now you're going to have a new generation of Houston rappers and artists, or even indie bands or Spanish music and all. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Texas is going to be like, yo, Texas is fucking doing it in the fucking music scene. Because you guys have everything. But if everyone works together, it's game over over there in Texas.
Absolutely. The way that I see my city, and I'm sure to somebody else it may seem like I'm obsessive about my city.
You do, but you care about your city. It's like, as me, I care about Long Beach.
I do. I care about my city, and I want to see it be better. My city has the potential to take characteristics from LA, but because of our big Latino population and how varied it is, you know who else we have the potential to be?
What's up?
Miami, which is the Latin American capital, which has all sorts of Latinos, from Brazil to Cuba to Puerto Rico to everything in between. Well, we already have that in Houston. And we also happen to be much cheaper than Miami, let me just tell you, because I don't travel there. It costs a lot.
It's too humid.
Yes, it is. And you know, you're not gonna get too far in Miami without speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. You can actually get things done in Houston without speaking Spanish. So we actually have the ability, if we can work together, to not only overtake Miami, but we can also overtake LA as well. Because we can actually bridge together both things. And that's actually the next place that I'm thinking of going to and seeing their best practices is Miami, since a big part of my platform is Latino. Because the people in Miami, they definitely do things differently. They are hustlers as well, just like people in LA, but their hustle is a little bit different because a lot of their audience is people overseas. So they're working with people in the city, but they're also working with people in South America, people in Central America. So their hustle, from what I've seen, is like 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. And you have Cuba. You have Cuba. You have Puerto Rico. You have all the Caribbean islands, Hades, Jamaica. Like, it's all like, it's like a melting pot. Like, nothing but good music is popping up all over all those islands.
Absolutely. But we have the potential to take what they're doing that's really good, take what y'all are doing that's really good. So if I can get my state to get its screws together, we can literally be that spot. I definitely see it happening.
Okay, I want to ask you this, like right now, I know you listen to a lot of music right now on this live, on this podcast, what type of music that we should be hearing or what type of artist we should be looking out for?
In my opinion?
Yeah, in your opinion.
In my opinion. So in my opinion, and y'all would have to look them up. They are actually a collective. They're called The Outsiders. So they are a Mexican-American group out of Houston. They do their music in English and in Spanish. But the thing that I like about them, sometimes people who speak both languages, their flow is not necessarily all that great, especially when they speak Spanish as a second language. But this duo here, they can actually rhyme spitfire in Spanish. They actually have also done songs that have like a West Coast feel to it. They have a song called Odies, which definitely feels very LA G-Funk style, but they are based right here in Houston. But they've also done reggaeton music. They've also done a little bit of trap stuff. They've also done, I guess, our little screwed and chop stuff. So them as a group, The Outsiders, Young Chopper and Pisto, I think when I think of people who could possibly represent what Houston could be, I think of their duo, absolutely. So I would definitely say them. She is not necessarily from Houston, but Anna Mae's, the artist that I mentioned from DC, I think she's brought a whole different type of mindset to our city, which I think is a breath of fresh air. I feel like we absolutely need it here, to be honest with you. In my opinion, I feel like we definitely needed someone like her. And who else can I think of? I don't remember this gentleman's name, but he's actually a Colombian man who recently opened up a multifaceted artist agency. And he's been signing on artists from his country, Colombia, but from my conversations with him, he's been open to working with all kinds of people. His company is called La Suite Records. So they do artist development, they do studio time, they do helping you with your marketing on social media. They also have podcast space. I actually need to talk to him and see what kind of space he has, what his rates
are. Oh yeah.
But he seems to be the go-to person for the Latinos in Houston who are not necessarily Mexican. So people who are not doing cumbia music, but maybe they're doing Dominican dembow or they're doing other styles of stuff, he seems to be the go-to person. And maybe that could just be because he just understands the music. Because I'm finding with some of our Mexicans in Houston, some of the stuff that I'm listening to in the Caribbean, they don't get it. Like at the Conejo event, it doesn't seem like they resonate with it the way I can because of me being who I am. And I
really,
like when I went to the Conejo event, not every artist that was there was Mexican. There was actually a Dominican artist who was raised in Houston, and there was a Colombian artist who recently moved here from Colombia. Now, the Colombian artist was doing what they call dembow music, which is kind of similar to reggaeton, except it has a much heavier bass line, and everything just is rhymed very, very, very quickly. And I noticed a couple of people were dancing, but there wasn't that much of a reaction, versus when I went to a Puerto Rican Cuban festival in Houston, they put on dembow music and everybody started dancing.
You know what?
It's
the energy. You know,
it's the energy for sure.
It has to be, because it's like people are gonna be like I'll be frank, like, you know, Mexicans, we all like to just stare and see how the crowd is, and if the energy is popping, we all go over there. But you know, it's just, that's just how it is. We like to just mad dog and stare and just see if everyone's had a good time. Oh, if they're having a good time, okay, I'm going to have a good time. I'll let loose. But everyone's always on guard for some kind of reason.
Okay, so then it's possible it might be a cultural difference, because I have noticed that for the Latinos in the Caribbean, when music starts playing, because I know it happens to me, sometimes I'll go outside and someone is playing salsa music, and I immediately start dancing without without even thinking about it, I just get up and dance. But I don't really see Mexicans just getting up to dance just because somebody is putting on cumbia. But for us, we're just constantly dancing 24/7. Even we Jamaicans, it's the same thing. Somebody puts on dance hall music, and I'm immediately getting up to dance. So yeah, maybe.
I went to a dance one time, Shazzy. I went to a dance hall, like a party, like in downtown LA. I'm gonna tell you something. The Jamaicans know how to get down. I seen this guy is like, I'm dancing with you. He grabbed her and swirl her around, like doing these dance hall, like twerking dance. I was like, damn, man. Like, I guess you really want to have. I guess you want to fuck her.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, some of the dancing is almost to that limit of, are you guys trying,
are you trying to make a baby? Are you trying to have a baby?
Are you trying to have a baby outside? But, you know, it's I guess this is just how we dance. We're just more sensual. So, you know what? I guess I'll take it back. It might just be a cultural difference. That may have just not been the place for them to be. But I don't think anything hurts in trying to understand someone who's different. Like for the longest, like, I didn't really understand the appeal of mariachi music. But the more and more I listened to it, I had an appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. Now it's something that I love.
It's cool music. I just, anything on the dance floor, I'll be dancing. It's just the energy. You know, I just go by energy. If I see people having a good time, I'm going to go too. You know, like, hey, we only live once. You know, it can't be like all like walking on eggshells. Like, I don't do that. Like, dude, have fun, because you don't want to be that shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Absolutely. You'll be that person at the nursing home trying to dance and realizing that you have too many, you know, muscle cramps to do that type of stuff.
Oh, my leg. My leg.
Maybe you'll have to be in the wheelchair and do like a couple of revolutions and make it look like you're breakdancing in a wheelchair or something.
Hey, whatever. Hey, I see people dancing. I saw my homie Rizzo dancing on Friday at the ODM, and I was like, yo, ODM.
Oh, he was getting down.
Dude, I feel like, where I see this guy dance? It's like, I'm going to keep on giving you shots, homie. You start dancing, because I'm telling you, I always think like, this guy doesn't know how to dance. Like, oh, this guy has some fucking moves.
That's the first time you see him. I actually thought that he normally danced. I actually saw him before, and I started recording him.
Rizzo dance, you see stories and stuff like that? But the video I posted of him, I was like, I don't know what kind of dance is that, homie. Like, I don't know what the fuck is that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, it's as long as you're having a good time, and that's the thing. And how do you feel like when you're over here meeting like celebrities, like you saw Tony, ODM, you saw this person, and this is like, I saw you post a picture of you and Estevan's.
Oh my gosh. Yo, did you see the way that I was cheesing? By the time she took the picture, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's Estevan. So I have so much respect for him, the work that he has done, not just with Raza, but with all Latinos, and I think just with photography, period. The fact that this person was just casually walking around was a big thing for me. Like, oh my god, you're okay with taking a picture? Wait, so you're not gonna charge me anything? I don't have to do anything. So it definitely can be, you know, a starstruck thing. Even meeting Tony A. Like when Tony A came, he gave me a big hug, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I've been watching your podcast all this time, and I'm actually seeing you. You're a real person. You're real chill. This is unbelievable.
Man, when I went over there, I was like, the first thing I saw, like, what's up, Norbit? You know, he knows what's up. And seeing Mohawk or seeing George Yu, you know, there's a lot of good people. When I was over there yesterday, I made a lot of connections to get certain people on the podcast. And I won't mention this person's name. This person was like, yo, Mega Man, I see you always invite certain people. What can I do to be a guest on your podcast? And it's like, you know, I told him, look, if you want to be a guest on my show, I got to get to know you. I just don't say yes and just bring you on. I got to get to know you if you're a right fit for my show. Because how you said earlier, you don't want no fucking drama on your show or on your life or on your podcast. So this is the thing. It's like, hey, you can come. I got to get to know you, see if you're the right fit and everything, and go from there. And sometimes, you know, it kind of fucks with their ego. It's like, you know who I am? I got over 1 million followers. Like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you got to wait like everyone else. Like, I'm not just going to say, oh, if you have 1 million followers and bring you on. Doesn't work like that. It's, I told them, you could wait till next year because I'm already booked. See me and stuff like that. But yeah, but you have her on or he on. Like, yeah, because I already built relationships with. Do you make the time and effort to come DM me, or it's like, hey man, I want to get to know you. I want to come on your podcast. What are you doing tomorrow? Let's have lunch. I want to chop it up with you. I want to get to know you so you can get to know me. If you would have said it that way, then of course I was like, I'll see what I can do. I think I might have a slot open in a couple months. But again, no people do that. They just want to just come on just for clout, but they don't want to have a relationship with you or be friends with you and stuff like that. They just want to do the podcast and go on to the next victim.
Yeah, and see this is kind of like my pet peeve, and I'm not just seeing it with artists, but I'm seeing it with general people. Seem to have a serious poor sense of business etiquette. Like in the world of business, if you have even a small business and you want to be able to do something with someone else, you do not just come to their place of business and say, okay, so I'm going to be coming in and, you know, I need a dozen of your, you know, your chicken because I have a restaurant and we need it by tomorrow. No, they will say no. Get real. Like, come on. They're going to want to know who you are. They're going to want to know a little bit about your business, because the minute that they attach their name with yours, they're sacrificing their brand. And they also need to know that you're reliable. There's a whole checklist. So I'm not sure if people are just not aware how to conduct themselves business-wise, or it's just not something that's really promoted. But it's a serious problem that I've seen. I've never come to you and said, hey, Mega Man, so I need to come on your show now. No, I know that this is your show and you have to come. I never came to Tony A or Norbert and said, I need to be on your show. No, they needed to find value in me first. Mm-hmm. And they feel comfortable. Because the minute I'm on their show, guess what? It becomes my name attached with this. How many people contacted me based on this Rhodium Radio episode alone? They're not about to make that sort of sacrifice unless they feel comfortable with me. So, I mean, a lot of people, they just don't seem to know how to conduct themselves business-wise. Business is building relationships. Yes, it's making money, but you can make more money if you maintain relationships. If you want to just make some quick money or some small little clout, and be messy. But if you want to be able to make long-term money, you have to build relationships.
Yeah, and that's the thing where I told everyone when I took a break and take care of some personal things, you know, this year I want to make my podcast into a business, you know, merch, Patreon, you know, if small businesses, any sponsors, you know, I'll give certain, like, not over the price, expensive prices for sponsorships, like whatever I can do, because I know this year or next year, you know, inflation, recession, you know, there's going to be a lot of small businesses, there's going to be a lot of people depending on yours or Tony's or America Cholo's or mine or any other platform for help. It's like, yo, I need some help, can you give me a little bit of exposure? Because, you know, that's the thing where you're going to find out who's going to be supportive with you or not. And it's always those small people, like, you know, like, it's always those, you know, the sleeping giants, you know, like, you always got to be very respectful to a lot of people, because you never know, those sleeping giants, those ones who starting off small, they can just freaking blow up. And if you have a good relationship with, they're never going to forget this. Like, I remember that time, you know, Mega Man or this person or Shazzy H-Town gave me some good advice. They've always been loyal. I'm going to fuck with them because those are some real motherfucking people. And I want for them to back me up for any situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was always told that people don't necessarily remember you, but they'll remember how you treated them.
They'll always
remember how you treated
them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always those underdogs, you know. I remember, I'll say this very bluntly. Yeah. I remember when I started doing podcasts, and I'll say it, I don't give a care, I'll call them out. I reached out to comedian George Perez, like, yo, I'm doing a podcast. Can you help me in to do a podcast? What should I do? Fuck you, Mega Man. You go do it yourself. That to me, it was like, and I'm thinking back, he probably saw me as a competitor in this, whatever, talk shit or hear or just being hard on me. But that's how people were at that time, like 6 years ago, where they were worried about, I'm going to lose a subscriber, I'm going to lose a listener or a follower, this, you know. But I hanged in there. I'm not, that to me was a motivation to, like, oh, there's going to be motherfuckers like that. Okay, I'm going to get my name out there. And no matter what, if people get mad at me because I tag or I'm here and there and I'm just everywhere and it's trending, like how if you're trending where I see you on certain things, like, oh shit, they're on the come up, and little by little, they're going to be more respectful. Like, oh, they might get those DMs and say, hey, Omega Man, I just want to let you know, keep on grinding, keep on doing it. You know what? I thought about you wrong, Shazzy Ace Town, but dude, you got my fucking respect.
Now, how do you know which ones to, I guess, give a second shot to and which ones to just not let back in? Because sometimes what a lot of people do, from what I've seen, is if you don't have a name, they feel justified in being rude. They feel justified in being disrespectful. But the minute they see you start to have a name, then all of a sudden they get some manner. So how do you know which ones to give a second chance to and which ones to just, you know, keep your distance?
I don't believe in giving people second chances or this, whatever. I just keep on going. Because of how you conduct yourself when you first meet people and your true colors will come out. But if, you know, if that person says, hey, Mega Man, I apologize, you know, I see you doing it, you know, you got my respect. Okay, that's cool and all, but I'm going to still see you as that fucking monster because you're just pretending to say that shit to me because you see me on the come up and you're just trying to be friends with me so you come on my show just to get fucking clout. I'm not fucking stupid, you know, like, if you burn me one time, that's it. You know, there's a lot of people I gave second, three, or four, or even seven or eight chances, and they're still the same person. I can't fuck with them. So that's why when I took some time off, Shazzy, I was like, okay, these are the type of people I can't fuck with. I got to part ways. I got to move on, do my thing. But also at the same time, I put people in categories. Like, if they're good people or not, they're assholes. I put a lot of people in categories. And because I talk to them in a certain way, you know, like if people say, hey, Mega Man, we cool, you know, and everything, bury the hatchet, I'll tell them, we cool, but we good. Like, I mean, in a way, I don't want to fuck with you no more. I just can't. I don't, you know, you have a business, you have an image, you just can't have no snakes in the grass. I know, I don't want to hang around with friends who are fucking weasels and backstab me. Fuck that. That's why, to me, like we talked about on Friday, you know, when people make fun of me, Mega Man with no country. Well, my country is here in Long Beach in the Harbor area. I have a small amount of friends. I don't want a lot of friends because it's gonna cause like more fucking problems.
Absolutely, I would definitely agree with that. And I'm assuming the bigger you get, the smaller your circle will probably
be. Oh, I'm alone. The bigger my podcast or your podcast or anyone's podcast, you're not going to have friends because you don't know who to trust, you know. And I'll say this very bluntly, you know, I know with Tony A, I know he might have friends, you know, but to me, he might be a little paranoid because he doesn't know who to trust. That's how I am. That's how American Cholo is. That's how it is, because you don't know if there's people out there who are very genuine or there's people out there pretend to be friends with us just to backstab us or just whatever clout they can get from us. I get it, dude. There's times, Shazzy, I get fucking paranoid of people, you know, interacting with me. Like, how do you know my name? Like, well, and I always test people. And he's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. Well, really? Which episode? Which episode that really stuck to you? And a lot of them, they just say that shit, and they don't even listen to your fucking podcast. You know, they're just doing that just to have a conversation. But when you put certain people on the spot, they say, hey, I'm a big fan. Really? Which episode have you learned? What do you know about me? I'm like that. And that's why I'm very blunt and very vocal. And a lot of people don't like how I am, because I'll tell you straight out. And that's where people always talk shit about me. Like, man, dude, like, he'll call your fucking bitch ass out. That's how I am. Because I don't fuck around. That's how American Cholo is. He's not going to be around the bush. Like, if you're going to go heads up with American Cholo, be ready.
No, you're definitely right. I recently saw that somebody had put a snippet of my Rhodium Radio interview in their story, and the person who did this, I've seen her at Houston events, and every time I say hi, she usually walks right past me.
Cloud chasers.
She herself is a promoter. And I'm like, wait a minute. So all this time, you never paid attention to who Shazzy was. I obviously was a nobody to you, but I'm assuming whatever I did with this podcast seems to be moving something serious in my city, and I'm sure I'll see you know the impact of it by tomorrow when I go back. And now all of a sudden you're putting me in your story.
This is what I learned. If this is on Instagram, and this is what I learned, it took me like a year. So when a lot of people post your stuff, they're going to just use that like that arrow and just like repost it. And it tells you on stop, like, okay, your story is on top. These are the people, when you click on it, these are the random people who've been reposting your stories. The only thing, as I always tell, if you're gonna repost it, tag me, show me some love, and I'll give you love back. But they're just doing it just to get clout and hear whatever. But remember this, they're reposting your stuff. That girl, maybe she don't wanna fuck with you, she posting it, that's cool and all, but at least in a way, you're getting out there because she reposted it and you're getting views and numbers and stuff like that. That's how I see it as. So let them repost. If they fuck with you or not, hey, as long as you're getting out there, you're getting that exposure. That's how I see it as, you know? When people say, hey, Mega Man, are you a clout chaser? I'm not a clout chaser. I know what clout chasers are. To me, what I want my podcast page, and this is what you should be learning this because you have a podcast now, make your podcast page different from everyone else. And what I do is I want to make my podcast page different from everyone else because I'm not looking for clout. I'm looking for traffic.
Wow, that's a really good distinction to make right there.
Because that's the thing is, you know, I talked to Norbit about it. We talked about it. He's like, we know the game of the social media and all, and we're learning much as we can, and it's all about traffic. What do the people want and what you're doing? What are the people want? What kind of music you want? What you want me to talk about? You got to hear the people. And when you do, everyone has their own opinions. Everyone has their own genres. They think this, they think that. And that's in the way when I always tell podcasters, you have to be a fucking chameleon. You have to adapt to everything around. You want to be the Renaissance woman for fucking podcasts where it's easy. You can be a chameleon and you can kill everyone's podcast because you can relate. You can talk about this, you can talk about that. And that's one way it makes like a smooth ass fucking episode because you can go any direction in podcasts.
That's a good point to make, because the guests may bring up a topic and then it turns out I don't know what they're talking about, and then I have to, you know, awkwardly curve whatever they're saying to talk about something else. Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, and that's the thing, when you bring guests on, I want to get to know them, and when I do have lunch with certain guests, I want to have a conversation and get to know them, who they are as people, and what's their hobbies, what do they like, what's their turn on, what's their turn off, what do you think about this? You know, because everyone has their own opinions. Everyone has their own matters. It's like, hey, if I'm not doing music, I like listening to conspiracy stuff. Or I'm not doing this, I like to play with my family or do this. Everyone has a hobbies where you can kind of relate, like, oh, me too. And that's where you make connections and stuff like that, where it makes the podcast more smooth. I don't want to have my podcast episode, Shazzy, as a difficult one. I want to have it super smooth, where when you're done having an episode, when you have a guest on, and that guest says to you, hey, Shazzy, that has to be one of the best episodes I ever done. It was so smooth. You know how to conduct yourself. The interviews, the questions that you did were smooth. Wow, man. It's like you feel good about that. And because of that, that guest is going to tell all his people or anyone, be like, yo, if you want to be a guest on Shazzy Ace Town, right here. That's how you do. And that's how a podcaster is. You have to be the fucking like Renaissance. You got to do it all.
Yes, I'll definitely keep it in mind. And it probably makes it easier for you to attract, a constant stream of new guests, because that's like another fear that I have is, what if you just kind of run out of guests to bring on?
You know what? I thought that like 4 years ago, but this is the thing. Again, going to events, you're going to communities, you're going to parties, someone's going to catch your eye, he or she, and you're like, and just interact with people, talk to them, get to know them, because it's almost like in a way you're kind of recruiting, you're networking. You want to see how they conduct themselves on camera, how they speak, are they over talking in this, whatever, like. And you following their journey, and they fuck with you, and it's all you got to do your homework on that just to make a really good episode. And that's what I've been doing, interacting, getting to know my future guests, and having lunch with them and sitting down with them, and it's not doing DMs on FaceTime or on the phone or text and all. No, I want to meet them face to face, because that's how I am. It's like, oh shit, Mega Man drove all the way over here just to have lunch. For him, I don't want to say for him, but like, I want for him to be like, I see a potential in you to be a guest on my show. And he was like, he cares. That's how I am. I really care about the people I bring on. It's not for clout. It's for me to be a better person, to be a better father, maybe down the road to be a better future husband to someone, a better podcaster. But also in a way, it's going to make me a better person in life.
I would definitely agree. I mean, I'm also hoping to learn different things from my guests. I mean, it's cool to be able to interview people and you get to hear their story, but I've always been of the belief that I can learn a little bit from everyone. And that's kind of to be true throughout most of my life.
And that's the thing. It's like, when people say, oh, Mega Man, like, you only focus on Raza. I focus on everyone. I had blacks, I had whites, I had Asians, I had gays, lesbians, I had all different types of colors on my show. I don't discriminate, Everyone thinks like, oh, Mega Man, you're a Latino podcast, you're one dimensional. No, I'm not one dimensional. I interview people over the world. I have people from Australia, South Africa, Argentina, UK, Scotland. Like, they listen to my show. There's a lot of people who gravitate towards my show. I even have Ukrainian soldiers who are in the front lines battling the Russians, trying to stay alive, and they're still listening to the Lobby Social Experiment. Those are the ones like, wow, you never know who's going to be hearing you or watching you. And for me to do my podcast, or maybe how this show is going to be like that. You never know how many people you're going to change their lives. You never know who's going to be listening around the world. And also with those Ukrainian soldiers, if for me to just post whatever I want to post or do podcasts or this, they're keeping them afloat to have their really their brain and their mind on check, because they're trying to do whatever they can to stay alive and save their country from the invasions of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're almost at the end, Shazzy H Town. Do you have any last words or any shout outs?
Yes, yes. So shout outs to you for giving me this opportunity, and especially on such short notice to give me this opportunity. So big ups to Mega Man. Shout outs to everybody in Houston, Texas. And shout out to what I can definitely say is now my adopted state. Shout out to everybody in the state of California. I mean, you all have done so much for me. This is my third trip out to the state. And every single time I come, it's almost like a reset for me. I always learn something new. And by the time I go back home, I immediately apply it. So I love all of y'all. You really are my second home.
Oh, it's all good, girl. And we have a comment I want to address from Cultural Brew Scriptures. This comment is from to you, Shazzy H-Town. Shazzy H-Town just follows you because of Mega. To be honest, clout is what it is all about, because the numbers don't lie, and it's all about the energy, not the humbleness.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There, I go by energy, and we talked about this. There's energy is a big must. You know the energy is good, and you know the energy is bad, and that's the thing. I can't get no energy off of social media. I have to meet that person face to face and see how the energy is, because like, oh, you get to know someone on Instagram and all, but when you meet them, sometimes in a way, once in a blue moon, like, you know what, I can't fuck with you. Like, the energy is very evil. And I had that certain people I won't mention, but I just have, you got to be very careful of what type of energy you have come into your circle.
I'm trying to be on the lookout for that.
So, do you have any shout outs, Shazzy?
I actually think those are all the shout outs that I have. Oh, you know what? Let me give another shout out to my favorite crew in Houston right now, the Outsiders. I did actually send the information to Rhodium Radio, so I'm not sure if Tony A and their team have contacted them to schedule the interview, but they, to me, are people like myself who need to kind of make that trip and then come back, and then things will kind of blow up for them. So shout-outs to the Outsiders, shout-out to Young Chopper, shout-out to Pistol, shout-out to Cheekies, who actually works with the Outsiders, and shout-out to my family, if you get a chance to see this.
All right. Well, Shazzy, I just want to say thank you for coming on the Long Beach Social Experiment, because you're going to be you're going back home tomorrow, right?
Yes, going back to Houston tomorrow.
And going back to reality.
Yes, going back to reality.
Yeah.
And Baltimore.
I just want to say I hope you had an awesome time in Long Beach, L.A., you know, being a guest on my show, Tony's, seeing ODM, you seeing all the people, getting some Cambodian Cowboys barbecue.
Yes, I had a good time. Thank you for hosting me again.
Yeah, next time when you do come, I'll make a list so you won't get screwed over for the Airbnb. I'll make a list. Yeah, I'll make a list for you where to go, where there's convenience, where nothing closes at 8 p.m.
Oh, God, please do. I'll definitely let you know. I will let you know well in advance when I'm coming, so
yeah.
I won't deal with what I have to deal with.
Yeah. All you have to do is send me, and we'll look at the locations. You're like, okay, this is good. You want to be in Long Beach where the convenience is at. So one of my friends, you know, he had certain houses where he rents or he can use, like, for Airbnb, but it's over there on 4th Street where it's a lot of convenience. You can go to the store, you can get a pizza, there's a bar, there's music here, whatever. It's all around where you don't have to take an Uber. You can just walk right there, which takes you about, like, what, 4 minute walking, but you're right there.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Shazzy H-Town, I just want to say have a safe trip back to Houston, Texas. Everyone, I hope you liked this episode. Do me a favor, follow my girl and support her at Instagram at Shazzy H-Town. And one last thing, everyone, if you have time, I'm going to be posting Absolute Best of Long Beach 2023. Mega Man just got nominated as one of the best podcasts in Long Beach. So there's a nominee of three best podcasts right now in Long Beach. I'm going to post everything up, and do me a favor, everyone, vote for me. And I'm telling you, I work so hard, and I care about my city. I love the people here, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get that exposure of all the people to come over here to Long Beach, because we have a lot to offer.
That's good. I hope you win. Y'all better vote for him.
I'm doing my thing, man. I'm doing my thing. I know. I'm just right now, I'm just focused on Long Beach, but I'm doing my thing. But Shazzy H-Town, nice conversation. Go get some sleep, girl.
Okay.
All right. Later, everyone. Later.
Bye.
Later.